Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon again with the Metaphysical Hour. And we're back from our trip, and so we're going live tonight. You probably know last week we were in North Carolina, where I did one of my classes and a lecture there. And that was a short trip and an interesting trip. Uh-huh. They usually all are.
Yes.
But my daughter Julia's here because she likes to chime in, too. We do want to make some announcements. We are coming up on our conference. We keep talking about that. It's our fifth transformation conference, and it's held here in Rogers, Arkansas. We had to move to a bigger venue this year, and it's going to be at the John Q. Hammond Center in Rogers. And we've been told it's the biggest venue in the state of Arkansas, which I was surprised because I thought Little Rock would have something bigger. So I don't think we're ever going to outgrow this one. We did outgrow it last year.
Well, we can try to
outgrow. Because we're expecting a big crowd, and already the response is getting tremendous. And so all the speakers I've been having on here are the guests I've been having on are the speakers for the conference. Mm-hmm. So we can introduce them so people will find out about them. But our keynote is Lindsay Wagner this year, the Bionic Woman. And she has been in metaphysics all her life, and a lot of these people just kind of hide it. And now they're willing to come out and share it with everybody. I guess they feel they have nothing to lose, so now their real self is coming out.
Nothing to lose, or they're just it's a time now where it's okay.
It's okay to talk about your belief system. So she's going to be there, and we're also going to have Daniel Brinkley, the man who died three times and lived to tell the tale. And we've been trying to get copies of the movie that was made off of his life story when he was hit by lightning, but they're telling me it's no longer available. It's out of print, so to speak.
Yeah, but that doesn't stop us. We're still finding ways. We're going
to
try.
We're going to try to see. If we can get a copy out there, we're going to try to make some DVDs. So there's a lot of things going on. But he's going to be also one of the guests. And then we have Sherry Edwards, who is the pioneer in sound healing. And she works with doctors all over the world. And during the conference, she's going to be letting people find their tone. Everyone has a tone. If they find that tone, they're able to heal themselves. And she's going to be giving away free software that people will be able to use this themselves for healing through tone. So there's a whole lot of interesting things are going to be happening. And, you know, when I started this conference, it was to introduce our authors to lecturing, to getting out there and being able to talk to people. So that was the main reason.
Right. But then it kind of took on a life of its own.
Yeah, we bring a lot of other people in also. I think that's all the announcements. The conference is going to be June the 18th to the 20th. Mm-hmm. And if you check out our website, it has all the information about it and how you can apply online if you want to sign up for the conference. And it's the website is www.OzarkMountain.com. The name of our company, Ozark Mountain Publishing, but it's abbreviated online, OZARKMT.com. Or, for those of you that are overseas, it's OZARKMT.com. You can check on that and find all the information out about the conference. And this is going to really be a good one this year. Let me give out the toll-free number in case anyone wants to call in and talk tonight.
About our subject.
about the subject, because we're going to have a guest, and if anyone wants to call in and talk to him or about what he does, let's not go too far afield. Anyway.
Right.
So the toll-free number, if you want to call in, is 1-888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. Okay, so now we're going to introduce our guest tonight. And the guest tonight is Blair Styra. And we met Blair, it must be 5 years
ago. Oh, it's longer than that.
Long time ago.
It's longer than that, yes.
We're talking to Blair in New Zealand. So we were just saying we are talking to the future. Because in New Zealand, where Blair is, it's now tomorrow. And in order to get there, we had to go into the pass because our studios are in California.
Sounds convoluted to me.
So people running the studio and putting all this on are in California. So they're in the past, and we're talking to them and into the future to Blair in New Zealand.
And they say there's no such thing as simultaneous time.
And everything weird. I'm going to get your minds all mixed up. Okay, but we met Blair a long time ago, and we've been having contact and working together all those years. And Blair is, I guess, the most renowned psychic channeler in New Zealand. And when we've gone to New Zealand, he introduced me to New Zealand. We spoke together on lectures. So within November last year, we decided to help introduce him to the United States. So we gave a joint lecture in Long Beach, California. And there's something about it that seems to work.
Yes. Oh, it's very well received.
And people always think that we have been practicing all of this, and we just get up there and do it. We wing it, and it just works. But Blair is going to tell you about himself and how he got into this, but he channels an entity he calls Tabash, and it's very accurate, and he does special readings, he does lectures, and Tabash is a very delightful entity.
Yeah, Blair is too.
Even though, okay, so Blair, you're there, aren't you? You didn't fall asleep on us.
Just about, but I woke up again, so that's all right. You know what it's like living in the future. It takes quite a lot to hold on to it.
That's what I mean.
Also. Yeah, we're also in the middle of winter here as well, so you guys are going into summer. So.
They're going into winter.
So everything is mixed up. So we've got the times and the seasons. Everything is all fouled up. So
you want us to send a little warmth your way, or is it too cold yet?
No. Actually, we have a really, really crystal clear blue sky day. The sun is actually shining through the windows here. I've even turned the heater off, but I'm sort of in boots and in jumpers and jeans and that sort of stuff. So.
Okay. Well, Blair and I are going to be doing some joint lectures in July.
Right.
But first, he's coming over to do our conference, and he's going to be one of the speakers at the conference in June. And he's going to stay over here for a month or a couple of months anyway to do all of this. Okay, Blair, I want you to tell everybody your background. Tell them how you got into this.
Okay, well, I was actually born in Canada, and my family immigrated to New Zealand in the early 70s. And so I always say that, you know, I was born in Canada, made in New Zealand, and I'll be finished in the universe, so to speak. So my whole spiritual journey, I suppose, began in my 20s. And my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. And at the time, it wasn't a very good prognosis. So we started looking at just the whole concept of life after death and started reading books and opening up those sorts of doors. And gradually, as my wife started to recover, then we realized that obviously there's a bigger journey than what we'd thought. So rather than just mind and body, it was mind, body, spirit. So we just got on with life, and I just kept reading and meditating and linking into things that were of interest to me. And all my life, I'd had a sense that there was what I'd called something more, but I never could really put it into any forms of words. And I remember in my early days of Canada, where we lived, I used to wander around the local cemetery about the age of 11 and just feeling the energy and not knowing what it was, but I was always so peaceful with it. And just had that connection with that something more. And then while my wife was recovering and I started delving more and more into things, I had some really amazing meditations and started realizing I was opening up a lot of doors for myself. And then did some trips overseas, and at this point in my life, I was considering, you know, career moves that I was wanting to make. And my mother-in-law had passed away while we were traveling. And when we were in London, we had a feeling to go to the spiritual church in Belgrave Square. And there was a medium from Norfolk who was there. Now, he gave my wife an excellent, accurate reading from her mother. And then he came to me and he said, well, Spirit wants to talk to me about your career. And they said, I see two rooms. I see a room with a big building in it. and it had a red cross on it. And at that point, I had sort of seriously considered being looking at maybe going into some form of medical career. And the other room, they said, was a room full of light. And I thought, well, I don't know what that is, because if I thought, you know, doing anything as a job spiritually at that point, I would have thought, well, you know, my elevator doesn't go to the top floor. So it was confusing to me about the room of the light, but I thought, well, definitely, you know, I can understand the other one. But the guy said to me afterwards, he said, whatever you do, you're going to excel in. And when we came back to New Zealand and, you know, certain circumstances happen, you meet up with certain people, doors open, etc. And it was actually another channel that introduced me to Tabash. And so we went to see this woman, and she was doing a public meeting. And some part through her meeting, she just suddenly stopped and stared into the audience and then pointed a finger and said, you are a channel. And she was actually pointing to me, but I thought she was pointing to the dude behind her. Anyway, uh-huh. So I sort of looked behind me. I'm thinking, oh, this guy's a channel. This is really cool. And then I realized that she was actually talking to me, and I'm like, excuse the French here, but bugger this, you know? I don't know. Anyway, that's a New Zealand terminology, by the way. Anyway, so I ended up doing some of her seminars, and it was just like another door opened up, and I realized that, you know, God, the God nature in me had opened up to a point where, you know, I was able to be utilized in this sense. And this is where I got connected with Tabash, and he started appearing to me first in meditations, and then one day I was having a meditation, and he told me to open my eyes. And I was feeling so good that I thought, oh, no, I don't want to open my eyes because I'm going to go out of this nice feeling. But then he was quite insistent, so I did. And I wasn't even in the room that I had been in. My whole spirit had shifted into another dimension, and I was with Tabash, and he was standing in front of me. And so he started talking to me about the work that we could do, the commitments that we'd made as a karmic thing between the two of us. And it all felt so natural, so real, so wonderful. And never for a moment, and never, ever, have I ever doubted the energy. I never felt frightened of it. I never felt worried about it. You know, often people have said, oh, you know, you must worry about, you know, what you're doing and where you go, and you have to protect yourself. But the way I look upon it is that, you know, if we're all God in our nature, then really what do I have to protect myself from? And so uh-huh. I started just giving me guidance about things I needed to do, dietary patterns and exercise regimes, etc. And then it just sort of gradually built until one day he said to me, right, we want to hire a hall and we want to do a public lecture. And I'm like, okay, right, you know, stab in the dark here. And I had no idea you know, how many people would come. I thought 3 might come, 100 might come. Anyway, so in fact, 100 turned up. And I just remember going onto that stage and thinking, I just want to get out of here. You know, it's just, anyway, so I brought Tabash through, and, you know, he did his magic, and, you know, pretty much from there on, it just escalated, and I've been channeling Tabash publicly now for almost 19 years, and, you know, here in New Zealand, we've done a great deal of public work, as in meditation, teaching evenings. We've done a lot of seminars on different things. We had our own radio program for a couple of years called Talking with Tabash, where Tabash would interview people, and he'd also do a teaching. And we had some interesting situations. The one that sticks in my mind was a woman who was a channel from the UK. And so what happened was that she channeled her spirit, and Tabash interviewed the spirit. And I'm sure that would have been the first.
Really?
and people could ring up and ask questions and stuff like that. And then I started doing some work in overseas in the UK. I've worked in France a couple of times, and of course last year breaking into, you know, the US energy. And it's been an extraordinary journey, but I always realized too that it's a journey of my own evolution as a human being, as a God being, as a man, etc. And so, I mean, I just feel so fortunate to, you know, be able to, you know, be utilized in this way, not just from the service that I feel I'm giving to people, but from the connection I've made with God and, you know, all these amazing vibrations. And, as you know, we like to call it friends in high places, so I literally have those.
That's
right.
For sure. Okay. But you also do private readings too, don't you?
Yes, that's right. When people come to consult with Tabash, in fact, you know, today is a working day for me, and so I'm just doing this interviewing between clients. And people come to talk to Tabash on all sorts of things. He's rather like a spiritual advisor, a life coach, a mentor, a therapist, all rolled together in one. And basically what he does is he just talks to people about their lives, the patterns of their lives, what's going on, what they're dragging around with them, presenting excellent tools to help them evolve and understand that there's a bigger picture. The way that he does his readings, he's fairly in your face. It's never intrusive, but you know he's not spouting a whole lot of ambiguous nonsense. He really gets quite specific about your journey. But
yeah,
at the end of the day,
he's not vague at all. He tells it like it is.
Oh no, absolutely, yeah. You know he understands that. Okay, if you're here, then I'll tell you. But he doesn't expect people to treat it like the gospel truth according to Tabash. So, as you all know, we all have free will to define what we do with the information we gather. But he's funny as well. He's got an awesome sense of humor. And I think, as someone said to me once, you know, you can just imagine going to the pub and having a beer with Tabash. And you know, he's just that sort of guy. And he is. He's very personable and quite unique in the way that he works through me, and he's a great guy, really.
Okay. But Blair, you know, what you've told us before, when this is going on, you go off somewhere, don't you? Your personality does. You're not when Tabash is speaking then.
No, exactly. So I'm a channel who completely leaves my body. So I suppose in the old days they would have called you a full trance channel. So my consciousness simply shifts to another frequency, another dimension, whatever you want to call it. And what I do is I meet up with my guides, my teachers. Some things that happens is I get sent on missions, which is interesting. And a good example of a mission was my soul was out in spirit, and I was actually sent to New York. And there was a young man who was contemplating suicide. And so my spirit had to lift his consciousness to show to him that he had other choices, that he could, do a better job, so to speak. And so that's a good idea of a mission. Sometimes on a collective level, you may get a huge group of souls who may be sent to a place on the planet where there's conflict. And so we surround that place to try to lift the energy up. So we're not just sort of hovering around there, shining lightly and eating grapes and plucking the harp as such. We're out there and we're working away. We're always evolving. We're always serving each other. You know, here on Earth we have that phrase, be your brother's keeper. And, from the way I look at it, it's like we are all here to serve each other. And whether we're doing that while we're in our bodies or out of our bodies, we're all working away on creating a greater consciousness, and we all have that responsibility. And okay, some do it as a channel, some do it as hypnotherapists, some do it as writers, some do it as actors. But whatever people are doing, as Tabash has said to me, your message to the world is simply your life and the way you live it, and what we pay attention to literally becomes our life. So this is a time in our history where we're needing to be very conscious of what we're paying attention to, not just as individuals, but as a collective consciousness as well. And I'm conscious of that also in spirit.
Well, when you were, said to the young man who was going to commit suicide, could he see you, or were you just like a voice influencing him?
It was more like he felt an energy, the way that I worked with it, because there are many different ways that you can do it. So you could be like a voice, or you could be like a very strong personal energy. But what I did was that I first focused on allowing him to feel more peaceful. And so I sent the energy of peace to him. And straight away his body relaxed. And then when I sent peace to him, then I gave him the feeling, not like an idea, but more like a feeling that you do actually have choice. And with the fact that he was more peaceful, and then he opened up to the choices, then from a human nature perspective, he started looking at, I suppose, the logic of, his life and what his experiences were at that particular point. And then he felt the presence of something. And I could see him looking around, even though he couldn't see me, but he felt the presence. And then the moment he felt the presence, then what he did was that his soul lifted up to connect with God. And then with that, he felt that things could be better for him. He felt that he was able to open up to feeling good and feeling better about himself. And then the interesting thing about this was that, because remember, we were putting out vibrations all the time. And so he's putting out this vibration. He felt better about his life. And with that, the phone rang in his apartment. And it was a friend of his who said to him, "Oh, I've had this funny feeling. I had to call you and see if you're all right." And so once that happened, then this man made the link on a human level, and the friend was invited over. And then I thought, okay, well, my job's done here. So I was able to pull away from that energy. And again, it's interesting, isn't it? It's like this whole sense of events that are created by another way you invest in something. And so it all comes down to the way we are as vibrations, really. And so I went away from there feeling, you know, all right, I got a few extra brownie points for myself.
Yeah, but Blair, in that instance, you were really fulfilling the position of a guide or a guardian angel, weren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you think about it, Dolores, we're doing that all the time, whether it's in what I was doing when I was outside of my body and spirit, or, you know, when we're in our bodies with our connections, you know, we're all in a way acting as guides. And, you know, a lot of people, I think that they only think spirit guides are people who are in spirit all the time. But you know, we're all gods, which means we're already spirit all the time. Therefore, we're all serving each other all the time. And I just think that we have to realize how important we are all to each other all of the time, so that therefore we can...
I was just thinking, well, they said, like, when we're sleeping, we go off and we do things like that at night.
Yeah, assignments at night.
And it's the same state that you put yourself in when you're in that, I mean, because you leave, you're very conscious. It'd be like lucid dreaming, I guess, if you're asleep. But so it's very, so you're doing this at night and the day, so you're working double time, I would say.
Well, I'm laughing because I'm just thinking about some of the dreams I've been having lately, and it's like, oh, okay.
okay, yeah, so that's, yeah.
Uh-huh. Because that's what I found. At night, everyone leaves their body. They all go off and doing all kinds of things, going to the spirit side or getting advice. But they're also getting assignments to go and do work at night. And they're not aware of it because they just wake up in the morning and they don't realize they've been anywhere or done anything.
Yeah, so he's putting himself in that same position. So.
Yeah, and I think about in the dream state, too, is you know, it's a way that we're able to face certain issues in our lives on an unconscious level, because if we were facing them on a conscious level too often, then I think it would be too traumatic for us. So, you know, what we do is that we go on to another level of consciousness that allows us to look more clearly and also gather information from other sources that brings clarity and makes sense. And I think a lot of the crazy dreams and the things that we face and fears are often dealt with in our dream state. So it's a very healing place as well. And I think sometimes, you know, when people awaken, having had issues, they often awaken feeling more clear, or somehow things make more sense, or somehow that they've been helped and assisted and guided. And I think we're just reaching for another level of assistance, not just from spirit, but from another level of ourselves, if you like, when we go out into our dream states.
But one of the differences is that you remember these things when you come back.
Well, as I was saying, you're very conscious when you were doing these things during this
thing. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And, you know, and someone said to me once before, you know, do you find that difficult, you know, living in so many different realities on a conscious level? And, again, you know, I've always felt that being God is the most natural thing. So I've never actually even questioned it. It's just something that just seemed right. So, you know, you know, I think you just have to keep things in perspective. And obviously, I recognize that what I'm doing as a channel is literally my vocation. And so I'm here to serve in all the best ways that I can. And, you know, when I'm out in spirit, it's just wonderful to think that I've got access to information and souls and, you know, higher consciousness. But at the end of the day, at times, I'm still a human bloke. And, you know, sometimes you don't use what you're given. So it's that old human nature thing that creeps in here.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So really you're vacating your body and letting Tabash do another thing while you're off doing these other adventures.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't
really know. A bit like I'm lending them the keys to the car. And
okay.
So in this, Yeah, and the time that he's doing the driving, I've gone down the road or something. He seems to drive it well.
Now, I know the last several times we've been with you, I've noticed that you, and I don't know how long, maybe this has been going on all along, but it seems like you're doing a lot more consciously where you are talking to Tabash or tapping into something, I don't know, consciously.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
When...
what's happened, I suppose, if you look at the way that everything is just shifting at the moment, and
right.
Spurs has explained to me, there's this greater blend of the dimensions, which means that, in a sense of human nature, I suppose I could say I'm growing out of my human nature and growing more into my God nature, which means that my own natural psychic abilities as a human being are stronger. And so even though Tabash is still talking through me, I'm finding that my attunement to people just on a psychic level is very powerful and strong, but also my clarity in regards to other dimensions and other frequencies is getting stronger and stronger all the time. So that sensitivity to that being more is strong. I suppose that makes sense when you think about the type of work that I do, that you're in a way, you're like you're training yourself all the time to become more attuned. And so, as they say, it's all going to amount to something eventually. And
right,
so,
yeah.
But you know, I believe that that's the same for everybody. I think that to the level that people are, they're doing the same thing. They're adding more and more dimensions to themselves all the time. Allows them to be more perceptive, which allows them to be more attuned. And you know what I feel we're doing is we're attuning more to our God nature, which is of course our true nature. And so it just happens. And I mean, I know you guys are doing that as well. It's just this, you just know after a while, basically. I mean, the thing is, after a while, and this is how I view evolution anyway, is that you know at some point, you know, you just become that collective energy. So therefore, at some point, you know, the world won't need psychics or channels or mediums or whatever because we're just going to be all about ourselves anyway.
Everybody will be doing it
exactly.
Then.
Exactly, and that's what I tell people, and they want to know how I do what I do. I was like, well, you can do it too. Everybody can do this. So just tap into it.
But for most people, what happens is that they let their human nature actually get in the way. And it's the human nature that carries all the emotional patterns and attachments and addictions and ideas and feelings and belief systems, etc. And so when you move away from the old belief systems, then you change the model of what the outcome of your life is going to be.
Yeah, I call it the conscious mind, the stupidest part of the human being. You know, it always tries to be in there. We want it out of the way. Okay.
I laugh when you said that because, you know, Tabash is always saying, if you're going to do anything, be God doing it. And I'm just thinking, you know, even if you're feeling stupid, then be God being stupid.
All right.
Stupid in the highest possible way.
Yeah, there you go. Uh-huh.
But I think what Julie was talking about...
You can't get away from anything.
No, you can't.
What Julie was talking about, though, we have noticed whenever we were with you, we just asked a question and you seemed to know the answer.
Well, you're always saying, well, Spirit says this, and I know that, because I'll do that too. I hear this and stuff, and it's like, I wonder just how much you actually have to leave now to, I mean, that may be what people expect now from a reading or a session with you, is you have to leave and Tabash comes in, but you could probably do just fine staying there, but maybe you don't want to. Maybe you want to go off and have these other adventures.
Well, I've got to admit that I probably could do that to a certain degree, but you know, when I leave and when Tabash comes through, I mean, he's pretty remarkable and his energies, and I actually find that as a human being myself, I'm actually quite an impatient person in many ways. And I remember some years ago I was interviewed in a magazine here in New Zealand, and the reporter said to me, well, you know, without channeling, without Tabash, would you choose to be a therapist yourself as Blair? And I looked at her and goes, oh, God, no. I'm too impatient for that.
Yeah, you're patient.
And it'd be like, I'd be talking to people and go, well, go on, get on with your stuff.
So I've yet to evolve
to that particular state.
Yeah, that's my problem. I got to have a lot of patience to listen to everybody's problems so I can help them. And yet you can't take those problems on because then you become an empath, which is not good for anyone.
Well, yeah. Well, what I find I do is you know, because, you know, in my line of work, you're often, as you know, you're dealing with people's major traumas and major problems and
yeah.
emotions. You know, there's a lot of emotional experience that happens for people. And so what I always do at the end of my day, my work day, is I empty my rooms of the energy, and I empty myself of the energy. And then I usually do something that grounds me, like go to the gym or go for a swim or something physical that puts me back on earth as such. And I always start off the day by pledging my life and my body to my service to God and my service as a channel. And I call in the energies who work with me. I call in any guides and spirits who work with the clients who come to see me. So it's like an agreement that you have to make every day, but then an agreement that you have to break every day as well, because you don't want to bring the new energy or the old energy into the next day. And
yeah.
so,
well, see,
yeah, otherwise...
I have to do the same thing. People don't understand it, but I have to, what I call, center myself and talk to them before I'm going to do a session, because it's like an agreement to get
yes.
them to work with me for the highest good of the client. So you don't go into this work lightly. You know, you don't take this work lightly. This is serious things that we're working with.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're dealing with not just people's lives and emotions, but, you know, you're dealing with evolution, really. And so, you know, that's why I always, you know, my biggest affirmation that I always tell myself is I am God. And you know, I do that as much as I can through the day. And that's just staying logged in, if you like, to that power all the time. And I sort of liken it a bit to the difference between, say, with a computer. You know, if you have dial-up, then that's just staying in your human nature. But if you're linked into broadband, then that's your God nature. And so
okay.
you've just got a higher internet connection and accessing more all the time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, you can receive more faster.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you stay in dial-up, you're never aware of what you're missing.
Oh, God, it's
yeah,
easy to download some stuff as well. You just and you want to throw it out the window.
So, that's true, yeah. That's a really good example, just to download something.
Yeah,
so you
yeah,
have
yeah.
to raise your, you have to elevate your state of being
yeah.
to
yeah.
download
yeah.
your information
yeah.
that you want to get.
Well, you do, and like our computers,
yeah.
you know, every so often
yeah.
you have to delete old files, you have
right.
to,
right. Oh,
know,
man, that's
you know,
a great analogy.
yeah.
yeah. And you know, it just makes sense. I mean, it's an interesting thing if you think about it, because Sebastian's often explained, you want to understand how God works, just look at your technology. And,
right.
and you know, I mean, people often find it difficult to understand this concept of past, present, and future happening simultaneously. But, I mean,
uh-huh.
you know, if you think about, say, for instance, a television, and when the television is turned off, that doesn't mean the programs don't exist. You just have to push the right button and go onto the channel you want, and there's that information. And
right.
then, of course, there's all these other, you know, dimensions or channels that are happening simultaneously. So you can go from
uh-huh.
channel 1 to channel 20, and that doesn't mean channel 1 doesn't exist. It's still happening at the same time.
That's
so if you
true.
Think about it from the point of how spirit works, how our past lives work, how our future works. We actually have access to everything all the time, but what we have to do is make sure that we're fine-tuned enough so we know how to push the right controls on our remote.
mm-hmm. Okay. That's true. You just got, yeah, you got to tune into it. Which one to tune in? That's why
yep.
I keep seeing a radio dial. You're tuning the radio dial kind of thing.
Yep, yep,
yep,
absolutely. So, you know, it's just going on to that program that we feel is relevant to us at that time, basically. And unfortunately, for a lot of people, I think what they do is they keep going to the program that has reruns.
Oh, yeah. See, I've been here before. Deja vu. You know, do I have to go through this again?
yeah, I really like this program.
And the other one is yeah, stay tuned to the next episode. It hasn't been created yet.
right.
You don't want to just sit there and watch the same show over and over again because you're not learning anything.
Well, no, no.
Some
it's like consistent reruns of I Love Lucy or something like that.
Well, and some people do because they know what's going to happen. Maybe that's it. They just
yeah,
they
yeah,
don't want to
yeah,
be surprised.
Yeah.
They want to be safe.
but it's a comfort
they know the outcome
as well. They want to stay. Yeah, they want to stay attuned to what they're familiar with or what gives them a
yeah,
feel
they,
good.
Yeah, they know the outcome. Yeah,
right.
But they're not learning
yeah,
anything
well,
that way.
Yeah.
You're not
yeah.
learning anything that way.
I know the outcome, and I don't need to create a new one.
But they aren't learning anything that way because you're just repeating the same old programs. You need to go to a new class and see what's there.
Yeah, yeah, but it's interesting, isn't it? You know what getting back to what I said before about people's belief systems, and you know, if you stay locked into a certain belief, then you know, you create a reality around that, and therefore you die from your belief or live for that belief or you don't move because of that belief, and I think you know what's happening on this planet now is that we're all having to question our belief systems on all levels. Because we're more sophisticated, we're more intelligent, we have a greater understanding how everything works. And that's where it's about allowing ourselves to really take that awareness and look at how we can weave it through our lives in an everyday way now. And that's challenging to people, but it's also exciting to many other people, and that's why so many people are kicking open those doors. And, I mean, I'm just thinking about, you know, this conference in Rogers, Arkansas. Not too soon, you know, so it's coming up very soon.
Yeah, four weeks from today.
I'm so excited about the collective energy is just going to be absolutely amazing because when you think about, you know, everyone who's there is there because they are on some level open to this power, this idea, this energy. So the collective energy that's created on that level is just extraordinary. And, you know, I just feel so honored to be a part of this. It's just going to be, it's going to be awesome, as they say.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, Blair, there was a beep. That means there's a caller. Don, is there a caller?
I am. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Barely.
Miss Barely. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm calling from Cranbrook, B.C., Canada.
Okay.
I think Blair knows who I am.
Yes, this is my auntie.
It is too.
A small world, isn't it?
Yeah.
Small world.
I just want to let you know, Blair, how proud I am of you. You're just turned out to be such a wonderful, wonderful human being. And I do have one question for you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Dave's having a little trouble with the tax bureau. Do you think this is going to come out okay?
What he's got to do is he's got to make a new deal with himself first. So I feel that for himself at this particular point, it's very much about, you know, if you look at all the different levels of debt that he's created for himself, and you know, on the physical level, on the emotional level, and excuse the pun here, but what Spirit is saying is that he's just been overtaxing himself. And so because he's overtaxed himself, now he's got this difficulty with the tax department. There's arrangements that can be made, so he's got to make a deal with them, basically, see. So he's got some communicating that he needs to do with himself and with these people. So, but the outcome should be okay if he stops overtaxing himself on other levels as well. Otherwise, he'll just consistently put himself into debt.
Yeah, well, this is what he's worried about. It's no big deal, but the thing is, it's like for the GST tax in Canada.
Yep.
And,
yep.
And that's what it's all about. But
they're kind of
threatening little things that they could do this and they could do that. And, you know.
Okay. So what he's got to do is he's got to go to them and say, look, okay, I'm aware of the situation. This is what I can do. Let's sit down and let's talk about this rather than approach this from a point of conflict. Let's look at what deal we can actually make, basically. So there's the deal-making that can be done here.
Good, good. Okay, well, they're coming back to see him in 3 weeks, so they'll settle
things. Okay, well, he's got 3 weeks that he's got to do something.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's interesting talking to my auntie because I haven't actually seen her since I was 11 years old.
Does she have any stories about you from when you were little that she can share?
Oh, I have a really, really, really good one.
I knew you did.
Okay, I was pregnant. He was 3, 4 maybe, and I'm doing the dishes at his place. And there's soap bubbles in the sink. And he comes up to me and he says to me, how do the babies get out? And his mother said, there's a special opening. And he said, oh, does it have a zipper on it? and the soap bubbles went flying as I went hysterical almost.
That's sounds like something Blair would say.
Yeah, at a very young age. Very inquisitive.
Yeah, no more secrets.
This is fun, Blair.
Yeah. She's revealing your secrets on national radio.
Yeah, no, that's the problem.
I don't think I'll ever forget that, though.
Oh, that's a wonderful
one. She's with great love.
Okay. Well,
okay,
thank you for calling.
Okay, dear. Thank you. Bye-bye, Blair.
Okay. Bye, Deb. Lots of love.
Okay.
I think that was really good as far as, like, seeing the symbolism there, how that shows, I mean, the layers of that, you know, the 3D dimensional physical reality was showing, like you're saying, he was overtaxing. It's like that's so little. That's exactly how, like, the subconscious comes. I mean, that's how all the messages always come through.
In my work, yeah,
yes.
It's all symbolism, very
mm-hmm.
symbolic.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that, you know, the way we think about ourselves, the way we run our lives and on all levels, mind, body, and spirit, you know, and whether it's positive or negative, it's going to find that sort of reflection in our lives. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, just a simple thing about, you know, people who are suddenly have a back problem or feel pain in the back, and it's almost like, well, you know, what load am I carrying on myself? Or you know, people who have, you know, got pain in their hands, or why am I holding on to them so tight, or that sort of thing, or a visionary thing. My vision's a bit blurred at the moment, so what is it that I'm not seeing at this particular point? Or perhaps what do I not need to see at this point?
Right.
That's the kind of thing I work with all the time. Well, Blair, Julie's got a question that she was thinking about. Yeah.
Well, you know how they keep talking to me. and they've been asking me, it's like this keeps coming up about you, for me to ask you, and it came up again as I was coming up for this, but it's like, have you ever thought about teaching people how to do what you do?
Well, people have often asked me that question, and...
Mm-hmm.
From my perspective, I think that Tabash can teach people to lift their consciousness. But
right.
I think that in regards to channeling and doing it the way that I do, then I think every person who has that ability, it's unique to them as an individual. And so the way I channel spirit, it's not necessarily, it might not happen in the same way for other people because of their karma and what
right.
their bodies would accept, what they wouldn't accept. So I've got a particular formula that is me that mm-hmm. allows me to bring spirit through in this particular way. So I might be able to show to people, oh, yeah, this is what you do, but then it might not happen because their formula doesn't fit with that vibration, you see. So it's sort of a difficult thing to teach, actually. I think it's natural to you. It's like, you know, if you are Kiri Te Kanawa, who's a New Zealand opera singer, and it's a natural thing for her to do what she does. And then you get, you know, Susan Price, who lives in Oregon, and she wants to sing like Kiri Te Kanawa, but unfortunately, Susan was not gifted with vocal cords that sound like that, you see. Instead, she sounds like a screech owl. So we can teach her techniques, but she's probably
right.
not going to ever sound like Kiri Te Kanawa.
Yeah, it can't be taught step by step, then.
Well,
I don't believe it can.
It seems like you've said before what steps you did, and I just kept wondering if that could be, because I can see that being done, but you're right. And so I guess if somebody was really inclined to do that, they would just, it would come to them, like how you were guided from in different places and times of what to do when.
Yeah.
So it would probably be the
same
definitely.
Thing.
Definitely. So.
Yeah, I think if we're all God, then obviously we're sensitive mm-hmm. to everything. And, I mean, every day of our lives, I think everybody is channeling all the time anyway. But then, you know, to channel a spiritual entity and that sort of thing, it might not necessarily be conducive to someone's vibration or it might not be their karma as such. I mean, I know that, you know, I have talked to people here in New Zealand who've wanted to do that, but then knowing these people and at times their emotional energies, sometimes it's because they want to use it as a form of escape. They don't like their lives, so if I can channel a spirit entity, so I can get out there and that sort of thing. But again, if that happened, then it wouldn't work for them because,
they want to escape from reality. But
yeah,
let me tell a story that goes along with what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
one of our good friends, Carol Pate, we've had her at a conference. We've talked to her on the radio many times. She has been working with the police since she was 12 years old, And she has a show on the court TV channel. It's called The Psychic Detective. And, you know, she just does this. She works with 300 or 400 murder cases a year with the police. And she says after the show, she gets a call from a woman that says, I woke up this morning and decided that's what I want to do with my life. I want to be a psychic detective. How do I go about it?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing you're saying. You know, you can you can't show everybody how you do these things. They're either natural or they're not.
But I think, you know, anything like that is it can inspire people to look at what they can do. And it might not be in exactly the same way, but it may be act as a trigger to think, well, maybe my talents lay elsewhere, and it's about, you know, opening up those doors and checking that out. So I think everything is a stimulant for everything else, basically. But isn't it funny? Everyone wants to be like everybody else instead of being themselves.
Yeah, it would be a very boring world if we were all alike.
Well, it would be I did a silly joke. It would bring a whole new meaning to going out there and playing with yourself, that's for sure.
Oh, boy. Well, Blair, tune into your psychic powers. Okay. Blair, tune into your psychic powers and tell us what you see for the conference. What do you see as the results of the conference? You know what we're going to put on.
First off, what I got was I got a little blue energy that was coming in, and of course that represents the whole energy of high communication, and I felt that the collective energy of this conference is all about people speaking their truth and speaking from a higher level than they've ever done in their lives. And that's not just the people who are participating, but obviously the people who are attending. And Spirit's now drawing out the word healing. So I feel a lot of people will come to this conference, and the collective energy will actually heal them. They'll feel a sense of well-being and a sense of completion in many ways. But also, too, if you think about the diversity of the speakers, it's almost like this enormous collective consciousness where, you know, it's like a part of, how do I want to put it? It's like being in heaven for a while. So that's that conference room. It's like a place that is a part of heaven. When you go there and you participate it with the intention of being God, then it's like you will gather information. You will feel a connection on a level that you've never felt in your life. But then, of course, the thing is that you've got to go out into your world and you've got to take that awareness and live that energy, basically. And, you know, it's all about, you know, as you've written it in the advert of it, it's the transformation. So there's this enormous transformation and that's going to happen in this sense. And collectively, I've been shown it like a great big, huge ball of light. So you can imagine the collective energy that we're all going to create at that conference. Mm-hmm. And in our way, how we're actually going to make a huge difference in the world because of that, because of the mass connection, the mass energy, basically.
Well, last year at the conference, there was a tornado right over the hotel, and we blamed it on the energy, so we don't want that to happen again.
Well, we'll have a little bit more organized than that. But as the people have said, every year, they say this very magical feeling, and that may be like what you're talking about, the heaven, you know, like heaven and stuff. Yes. They said they've never experienced a conference like that before.
And I mean, it's unique to every individual who's going to be there.
Yes.
If you think about it from the point that we all create on reality, then every person who's there is a formula that's already been established. And so we're all like components that are actually lifting consciousness. And that's why, you know, if there's anyone now listening to this interview who are going to be at that conference, even now this is a good time to be conscious of your intent for what you wish from the conference, but also what you yourself are bringing into the conference as well. So if everyone goes in thinking, right, I'm going in there as God, then we'll just blast a big hole in Rogers, Arkansas, probably.
That's right.
Okay. But we're going to, you're going to be here for the conference, the 18th to the 20th of June in Rogers, Arkansas. And then the next month in July, we're going to be traveling all over the United States together giving a joint lectures. So we're going to
probably get tired. It's going to be awesome.
We're going to get tired of each other after a while,
I think.
So. No.
Well, if you do that, I'll just tap into another aspect of myself that's not tired of you.
Okay, but Blair, for anyone who is listening, tell them how they can get a hold of you if they want to contact you.
All right, well, if they want to contact me, they can contact me on my email address, which is info@tabash, which is tabash.com, and that's the best contact for me at this particular time. And that's also here in New Zealand if people want to contact me here in New Zealand. And that's also your website.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the website is www.tabash.com. And so some stuff on there that people might be interested in. But I'll also be doing, if people are interested, I'll be doing private readings during my time in the States as well. But the best contact is my email.
Yeah, and our office is making the appointments, I think.
Yeah, for his time.
Oh, okay, right.
So
the numbers, I don't have those on top of my head at the moment, but obviously tap into Dolores' website, and the information is there as well.
Right. But if you can look that up, it's T-A-A-S-H, isn't it?
No,
T-A-B.
T-A-B.
A-A-S-H.
S-H.
Yes.
Tabash.
T-A-B-A-A-S-H.
She always puts letters where there aren't and takes them out where they are.
So if you want to contact him, that's the word. The word is Tabash. Okay, but and if you want more information about the conference, the website of ours is Ozark Mountain, OZARKMT.com, or OZARKMT.com. And we also have an 800 number for those who aren't computer literate, if they want to find out about the conference. 1-800-935-0045. 1-800-935-0045.
Or if you are overseas, it's 479-738-2348.
Okay. So, Blair, I think we're coming to the time we have to close. The hour goes fast when we're on here.
Well, it's been such a pleasure to be able to do this, and such a pleasure to talk to my auntie as well. And I look so forward to being in the U.S. again. I think it's an extraordinary place to be, and I just love the energy. And it's funny, I was just thinking the other day about, perhaps 14 years ago, Tabash was doing a public meeting, and he was talking about this literal time in history that we're going through now, about the things that are happening, the changes, and someone reminded me of that the other day. And then I was having a meditation, and Spirit started talking to me about, well, we're going to be working in North America at some point, and I'm like, yeah, sure, okay, well, we'll just see what happens. So it's taken a while to get there, but we got there in the end.
Okay. And he has never been in Arkansas before, so he's going to be in for a surprise. Okay, it's time for us to sign off. So, Blair, I want to thank you for coming on tonight.
Thank you very much.
We want to say good night to everybody that's listening. We thank you for listening tonight. Good night, everyone.
Okay. Kia ora, everybody. Hara mai.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.